Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Having a great day, bro.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Doing awesome in the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. We are actually, this episode, we're going to talk about a lot of controversy, some very repugnant things have been said, some things that we've seen some good bridge building, I believe, when it comes to this. And here's the thing, guys, when we bring up sports, it's not simply because, hey, we like to watch sports, we want to talk about it. The fact is that this is an imprint on our culture. Millions and millions of people watch sports. They have an effect on how they feel. They have an effect on what they believe. If you don't think so, we're talking about, you know, we've been talking about the different Black Lives Matter movement and what's going on in our culture. But I always look back to Jackie Robinson and the effect that him playing, being the first African American to play baseball. By the way, he played for the Dodgers, just so, you know, anyone knows.
One of the best ever, too.
One of the best ever. Nice, great, amazing second baseman. But, you know, and I look back at that and I think about people that were racist, you know, that didn't like Black people, and yet they're stuck rooting for this Brooklyn Dodger, right? And I do believe that changes the hearts of people, and I believe it did have an effect.
Get to know people, see them up close, realize your prejudices are wrong.
And I have to say this, I do believe it has some sort of effect, and that's why we'll talk to it, because it's about the culture. And so when sports players, you notice when they tweet something, there's a reason why Cristiano Ronaldo, the soccer player for Real Madrid in Portugal, there's a reason why he gets paid $1 million every time he tweets something, because they know for a fact if he tweets something and there's just a water bottle in the back that has a Nike swoosh on it, guess what? They're going to make over $1 million back from that because they have an effect. So when we look and we see infighting on guys in sports, that usually means something pretty crazy is going on. And then when it's from your own teammates, pretty radical. And so what we want to do is examine some of the statements that were made via Twitter, on interviews, all over the place, regarding something that Drew Brees had to say. Now, we've been kind of talking about this as a group before we recorded this, because we were like, hey, we really wanted to dig into this because there's a lot of different scenarios going on. And I think there's some places where we can agree and places where we can disagree.
Yeah, we're not agree with everything said in every quote that we're going to play for you guys. We're just showing you the controversy. But there's a really good happy ending for those who know the Lord, because we quote some of these sports celebrities who actually have guidance from the Lord, are actually trying to apply his guidance where it brings healing where there's a racial divide.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And that's why we're doing this episode, because we say, hey, we want to reach out to people. And the fact is, we never want to have anything hinder us from sharing the gospel with anybody. And we want to make sure that we try to keep level-headedness. And we also can recognize, as Proverbs tells us, there are times where if you scream blessings early in the morning, they'll be taken as curses. So there are times that you can even say the right thing, but at the wrong time, and it'll be taken as a curse. It's not going to be taken as a blessing. So we're going to kind of look at that, and we're going to listen, and we're going to talk about some of these individuals that had a lot of problem. And as I said, it stems a lot from what Drew Brees had said. We were going to play a clip, but it's a little too long, and we want to get to right into the message. But if I could summarize it a little bit, basically Drew Brees was on a show and he was asked the question, does he now support the kneeling that Colin Kaepernick did, considering what happened to George Floyd when he was murdered?
And Drew Brees is the quarterback for the Saints, New Orleans Saints, who won a Super Bowl, and pretty awesome player, one of the most popular quarterbacks ever, considered the best by some. And he's in the world in this most massive accurate, controversy. For sure. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, he's broken a ton of records. And in all honesty, he's done some amazing work down in New Orleans and even in African countries.
Along the black communities as well.
And they credit him a lot with the work that him and his family have done in the city of New Orleans. And remember, when they won the Super Bowl, it was right after Katrina had hit them.
Yeah.
And they were literally using the place where he played to harbor people that had lost their homes there. And it's pretty incredible story. If you guys go back and watch that, and he ended up, it was a big upset. They ended up beating Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, quite amazing.
You know, big interception return for a touchdown. But this show is not about football. It's simply about players involved and the fact that they have voices that are heard by millions and millions of people. And when Drew Brees, when was asked about, does he now support the kneeling that happened during the national anthem with Colin Kaepernick? And he basically said, no, he did not, because what he sees when he stands there and represents the flag, he represents the nation. And not only does he represent his grandfather who was in the military and people who fought in wars, but he even said, hey, I want to represent it with my brothers and those people in arms with me. I want to represent also the civil rights movement and other aspects. And guys, I will tell you some of the most vicious things I've ever seen, especially if you guys know Drew Brees. He can have some controversy. He had the whole Bible thing and he was involved in some stuff that had a little bit of controversy. But typically, he's one of the more liked quarterbacks out there. He's one of the more liked sports figures because he is that prototypical, you know, guy who's out there and helping out with organizations. So when multiple players, and we can name some, Ed Reed was one of the best safeties of all time. He came out, had a very profane view about the things he said. Cam Chancellor, a player who won a Super Bowl for the Seattle Seahawks, basically wanted to come out of retirement to injure him, he said. I mean, there were some things said that were beyond the scope of unbiblical and more animalistic because of what he said that he does still doesn't support Colin Kaepernick. And I do believe some of this is the screaming blessings, the timing of when he said it. And then when we look at it and see from their viewpoint, I believe that Colin Kaepernick is representing what happened with George Floyd. And so when you're coming against Colin Kaepernick, you're coming against what's happening with George Floyd. And so I think that that is a lot of the disdain that took place.
Yeah, it's having two, you know, very different backgrounds. Drew Brees being white, having two grandfathers that fought in World War II, very thankful for that, for him, what the flag represents and everything else. For a lot of black folks, the flag to them represents a lot of oppression. I mean, they had, in fact, I think what Malcolm Jenkins says, and I'm not saying I agree with everything he says. I certainly, I'm not, just like we talked about Black Lives Matter, there's a lot of things that are very ungodly and unbiblical that they mix with a lot of good things, you know? So we can't get behind them and say, yeah, we're going to support you being hateful toward Israel and wanting them destroyed as a nation. We disagree with that, wanting them to cease to exist as a nation. At the same time, Malcolm says some things, and I watched it. I teared. I cried because he tears during it, and it hit me really hard because I was thinking, man, and it made me realize, wow, there's a lot of deep, sensitive feelings that you guys got to hear what he says. And I'm just going to let you guys hear this because I believe that, you know, he's looking at what he plays on Breeze's team. Okay. He's an amazing safety. Brees
just got signed there again. He started his career.
Yeah, he started his career there. He's back. And it's just interesting because I wish you could see it, but you can kind of feel what he's going through. But he's upset with Brees. But this has a good ending, I think. I hope. It does with some of the players anyway that we're having a hard time with him because Brees responds and says basically that he's sorry because he didn't really speak to the issue of what a lot of black folks were going through and the history of what black folks have gone through. He brings up the civil rights movement briefly, but it becomes kind of a secondary issue to the flag. And really, guys, you know what? I'm going to have to be honest with you guys right now. There's many times I've been at a baseball game or whatever, everybody stand up, put your hand over your heart, you know, or do your Pledge of Allegiance. I'm at some event. And guess what? I'm thinking, you know what? There's 60 million babies that have been murdered in this nation. Do I believe what this flag stands for right now, and at least the way people interpret the flag, that freedom means killing all these babies? So at the same time, when I see Kaepernick kneeling, I believe he also associates with communist Cuba, has socks with pigs on it, cops with pigs and so forth, and stereotyping all cops as though all cops are evil and so forth. So I can't get behind what he's doing. But at the same time, guess what I can get behind? I can shout from the rooftops, which we've been doing and I've done long before I did this during the Rodney King deal. that racism is evil, man. And black folks are created in God's image and are not inferior to white folks, that we're all from Adam, and on and on and on. You've heard me like a broken record through the years on that. So, but I do want you to hear him so you can hear perspective and kind of get a feeling of what other people have gone through. And when you're looking at the nation and saying, man, there's been 400 years of oppression to one degree or another, and there's still white guys kneeling on black guys' necks. And we just happened to catch this one on video, and it was going to be basically a hand slap until the ire was raised. So I think we need to hear. And guess what? We have other things we want to show you after this, because there's a good ending here. But here's Malcolm Jenkins. His plays defense for the Saints.
Yeah, I promise you this. The onslaught of that we have to deal with is crazy right now. Drew Brees, if you don't understand how hurtful, how insensitive your comments are, you are part of the problem. To think that because your grandfathers served in this country and you have a great respect for the flag, that everybody else should have the same ideals and thoughts that you do is ridiculous. And it shows that you don't know history. Because when our grandfathers fought for this country and served, and they came back, they didn't come back to a hero's welcome. They came back and got attacked for wearing their uniforms. They came back to people, to racism, to complete violence. And then here we are in 2020 with the whole country on fire. Everybody witnessing a black man dying at the hand, being murdered at the hands of the police, with his just in cold blood for everybody to see. The whole country is on fire. And the first thing that you do is criticize one's peaceful protest. That was years ago when we were trying to signal a sign for help and signal for our allies and our white brothers and sisters, the people we considered to be friends, to get involved. It was ignored. And here we are now with the world on fire, and you still continue to first criticize how we peacefully protest because it doesn't fit in what you do and your beliefs, without ever acknowledging that a fact that the man was murdered at the hands of police in front of us all, and that it has been continuing for centuries, that the same brothers that you break the huddle down with before every single game, the same guys that you bleed with and go on a battle with every single day, go home to communities that have been decimated. Drew, unfortunately, you're somebody who doesn't understand their privilege. You don't understand the potential that you have to actually be an advocate for the people that you call brothers. You don't understand the history and why people like me, people with my skin color, whose grandfather fought for this country, who served, and I still protested against that, not against the national anthem, but against what was happening in America and what the fabric of this country is for, or stands for. If you don't understand that other people experience something totally different than you, then when you talk about being the brotherhood and all this other bullshit, it's just lip service, or it's only on the field. Because when we step off this field and I take my helmet off and I'm a black man walking around America and I'm telling you I'm dealing with these things, I'm telling you my communities are dealing with these things, and your response to me is, don't talk about that here. This is not the place. Drew, where is the place, Drew? I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. Because while the world tells you that you're not worthy, that your life doesn't matter, the last place you want to hear from are the guys that you go to war with and that you consider to be allies and to be your friends. Even though we're teammates, I can't let this slide.
Wow. I think it's good to hear each other's perspectives. But it's interesting because not long after that, and Drew Brees had made some an incredible statement regarding how he had basically, I mean, he spoke a lot about the flag and so forth, but he realized, you know what? He didn't really address the pain and understand what a lot of black folks are going through right now. And I was talking to one of the black sisters in our fellowship about this, not this whole thing with Breeze, the thing that happened to George Floyd, you know? And we're talking and she's crying, you know? And she's like, I can't believe it. You know, I can't even look at that guy with his knee on his neck. And, you know, he looks so evil. I can't even look at him. And we both got a little teary, you know? And I thought, wow, you know what? I experience just anger when I see this guy with his knee there. I experience a lot of emotions, but the intensity of her feelings, because she looked at it as almost like a direct attack on her, you know? And I don't think a lot of people that, if you're not black, it's harder to identify with the exact feelings that black folks are going through. And I think it's important to listen to people that are going through these experiences, and not only just looking at that, but understanding that they have lived out some of these experiences, or know people who have, it to one degree or another. And it's radically insensitive of us, all of us, myself included, when we aren't willing to listen to other people's hurts. Now, to Drew Brees' credit, and I want to say this, if you listen to what he said, and you see it from his perspective, I don't see him intentionally trying to hurt anyone. I think he's speaking of his own experience, but I do think, you know, when I heard what he said as well, that, man, you know what, Drew, you should have spoken more to the issue of trying to empathize and sympathize with what they're going through and so forth. And I know it's a tough one because it's very nuanced, because a lot of things going on, because you've got Kaepernick over here associating with, you know, communism and calling all pigs evil in some way, or at least insinuating that. So, and we don't endorse that, you know, and I don't think a lot of the NFL players would either. But at the same time, we do believe that you can't just say, okay, since Kaepernick went about it this way, anybody who's protesting or speaking about this issue, it's overstated, or there's certain contexts in which you can't speak of the issue. And I do agree with this. If there's a wicked injustice that's taking place in our country, and football is not the place to state this, and you can make a difference, I think make a difference. If I, okay, or you could stand up in a weird outfit when the camera's on you at a football game and bring attention to the fact that 60 million babies have been killed, black babies especially, disproportionately, and it would make a difference, I would stand up, you know? I would do something to get the attention of the media if that could save one baby. But if it could save potentially millions, awesome. If you could put a stop to a lot of racism that's going on by making a specific statement in a specific way, I'd say more power to you, unless you're attacking the honor of other people whose honor shouldn't be attacked. Okay, you have to parse it. And that's where it gets difficult. But listen to Drew Brees' response. And he this was just heartfelt. And I've seen a lot of good responses from the black community to his response. And I think good can come out of this. He says, I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates, the city of New Orleans, the black community, NFL community, and anyone I hurt with my comments yesterday. In speaking with some of you, it breaks my heart to know that what the pain that I've caused. In an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country. I do agree with that statement. He did miss a bit there. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful and have misled people into believing that somehow I am an enemy. And he's right about that. He's not being an enemy there, okay? And the way he said his words, he felt that had misled some people. That wasn't his intent. He was on to say, this could not be further from the truth and is not an accurate reflection of my heart or my character. This is where I stand. Okay, and I'm glad he's saying, hey, this is who I am. This is where I stand. Quote, I stand with the black community in the fight against systematic racial injustice and police brutality, and support the creation of a real police change that will make a difference, a real policy change, he says, that will make a real difference. I condemn the years of oppression that have taken place throughout our black communities and still exist today. I think we could all say amen to that, or you ought to. I acknowledge that we as Americans, including myself, have not done enough to fight for that equality or to truly understand the struggles and plight of the black community. I recognize that I am part of the solution and can be a leader for the black community in this movement. I will never know what it's like to be a black man or to raise black children in America, but I will work every day to put myself in those shoes and fight for what is right. I have always, and he capitalizes the word always, been an ally, never an enemy. I am sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday, but I take full responsibility and accountability. I recognize that I should do less talking and more listening. A little ellipsis, then he states, and when the black community is talking about their pain, we all need to listen. For that, I am very sorry, and I ask your forgiveness. Keep in mind, brothers and sisters, we're talking about a community of people in this country that are the descendants of those that were kidnapped from other countries so white people could benefit off their labors. And many of the women were raped. Many of the guys were worked, and the women were worked to the bone and died, were mistreated and brutalized in many, many wicked ways. And if we just want to forget that and act like it never happened, or act like what's happening today is not related or not a consequence of what happened back then, or you want black people to just, hey, just ignore what happened. And when they see injustices taking place today by people, that white people in power, and there's not a cry against it, and that cry doesn't come from the white community, if you're not crying out against it and you just allow it to happen, act like it's no big deal, you're in some ways complicit with it if you can make a difference. So it's interesting. Saints linebacker plays the New Orleans Saints, right? Just like Malcolm Jenkins and, of course, Drew Brees plays for the Saints. Saints linebacker DeMario Davis credited Brees for issuing the apology, and he called it a form of true leadership. I like what he said. Listen to what he says here. What we had hoped the first time was that Drew would elaborate more on racism and the sentiments of the black community. And you know, I like that because, you know what, I think what he needed to do was speak up more for what black people were going through. And that's what Davis is saying here. Then Davis goes on to say, and he admitted he missed the mark. So for him to come out and say, I missed the mark, I've been insensitive, but what I'm going to start doing now is listening and learning from the black community and finding ways that I can help them. I think that's a model for all of America. And it's interesting. I love what WNBA basketball in the female league, Maya Moore stated, and she's a professing Christian. She states this, and I thought this was sensitive to Drew Brees as well, trying to understand where he was coming from and that he wasn't trying to be malicious, but that he needed to have a broader understanding of what black folks were going through. She writes, quote, it's hard because we want to be on the same page. We want to be unified, and she's African-American. We want to see each other and validate each other, Moore said. But you don't know what you don't know sometimes. And so Drew's original comments, of course, had some truth in it. You never want to see people disrespect anything that stands for honor. The other half of what I think Drew was starting to see, and other people can see, is that this symbol of freedom and bravery and America means that for a portion of the population, there are so many, namely black and brown bodies in America, who have experienced a different America than what the mainstream America flag symbolizes. And I think that's what we need to understand, because I do think that we don't stop and listen to each other enough to say, how are these people perceiving it? What are their experiences? Because I haven't been in their shoes. You know, how do I love my neighbor as myself? To love my neighbor as myself, I need to love them and see what they're going through, understand their pains, understand their deep hurts, understand what they've had to endure, and then need to reach out to them in the context of their situation and love them in it. That doesn't mean I'm going to always agree with their solutions. And maybe I need to hear, what is your solution? And listen, maybe I need to realize that they might have a good aspect or a good solution, or maybe I can share something that I think might help as well. So I thought that was pretty powerful. Now, it's interesting. Brees concluded his remarks, by the way, over dismay that of his words. And he stated, quote, I'm sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday, but I take full responsibility and accountability. And then he says, I recognize that I should do less talking and more listening. Okay. And now it's interesting. I think that was important. And I mentioned that earlier, but he goes on to say, for that, I am very sorry and I ask your forgiveness. Okay. And I think it's amazing because another really good player, one of the best receivers of all time, actually, Michael Thomas, he just got into it with the Dolphins wide receiver. I mean,
he's still young in his career.
So he's still young.
He's working pretty good.
Well, what he's done in his career so far is
pretty
about
good, yeah.
Pretty, among the best ever. I'll say that.
Yeah.
We'll see about the longevity though, right?
Yeah.
We're going to sports debate here, you know. Hey, he was debating with the Dolphins wide receiver. I'm a Dolphin fan.
That's so
true.
Devontae Parker.
And Devontae Parker was giving him some guff, and Michael Thomas came back at him. But he said, one of my brothers made a public statement. This is Michael Thomas talking about Drew Brees. They play on the same team. Drew Brees throws to him. One of my brothers made a public statement yesterday that I disagreed with. He apologized, and I accepted it because that's what we are supposed to do as Christians. I love that, man. And Tony Dungy, the pro Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy, I love this guy, professing Christian as well, also one of the most beloved commentators in football the last so many years. He says, America is in a very sad place today. We have seen a man die senselessly and at the hands of the very people who are supposed to be protecting our citizens. We have seen people protest his death by destroying property and the dreams of people in their own community, the very people they are protesting for. We have many people pointing fingers of blame, painting the opposite side with a broad brush. We have anger and bitterness winning out over logic and reason. We have distrust and prejudice winning over love and respect. Dungy goes on to state, what happened to George Floyd was inexcusable and it should never happen. Justice needs to be served. But in seeking justice, we can fall into the trap of prejudicing every police officer we see. What started out as a peaceful protest has devolved into arson and looting. And that should never have happened either. Yes, there should be protests, but we do not have license to perform criminal acts because we're angry. That's wise words, too, from Tony Dungy.
First African-American to ever win the Super Bowl, by the way, as a coach.
That's right. And I just love this man. He seems like a beautiful man. I don't totally know all about Tony Dungy, but I've noticed when he's a coach and as a commentator, he's very endearing, very sweet man.
Brought Trent Dilfer to the Lord, too.
Yeah, he led Dilfer to Jesus, you know. And guess what? May the cooler heads prevail, guys. May those. And by the way, I've noticed that those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who fear God, who have a moral background, they seem to be saying the most sensible things, you know? They're the quickest to forgive. They're the quickest to promote racial reconciliation. If you don't have Jesus, you know, no matter what, red, brown, yellow, black, or white, all you're going to have is hate. All you're going to have is your own selfish feelings and thoughts, you know? But Jesus is the one that makes the difference. And I think it's most important that we understand, again, that the gospel is for all nations. But I love Revelation chapter 7. Look who ends up saved in the end, brothers and sisters. Look who's before God's throne. It's people from every racial group, every nation, people, kindred, and tongue that have come to Jesus and accepted the forgiveness that he offers. We read in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and following, the Apostle John writes regarding the end times during the tribulation period while it's taking place and people come out of the tribulation period from all the different nations. He says, after these things, I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could count from every nation, and all tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures that fell on their faces before the throne of God. And they were saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, these who are clothed in the white robes, who are they? And where have they come from? I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I love that because we have people from a nation, people, kindred, and tongue cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And in the end, guess what? The Good Samaritan? Well, guess what? Jesus commissioned his apostles to go into all the world. He said, including, he mentioned Samaria by name. He loves people from every people group. We're all made in his image. He died for all of us. Turn to Jesus now so you can be part of that heavenly throng.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.